time the wind blows puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And that means that it's time to speak with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society for our Abandoned Manitoba feature. Gordon Goldsboro joins us from his comfortable bunker remotely. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Bruce.
So remind me of the clue that you left off last week with Nadia.
Well, it was a little cryptic. I said only that we're going to talk about a class of building that from the very beginning provided an essential service to essentially every community in Manitoba. And although this service is just as important today, it's being accomplished in a fundamentally different way. And so I thought, I'll just leave it like that and see what our listeners think. So, Bruce, do you have any guesses as to what we're talking about today?
Essential service. I would say maybe police station.
Well, that's something we do need, of course.
Yeah.
But no, we're not talking about that. My wife guessed a school or a church.
Okay.
But the reality is most of those things, they aren't in every community. They're only in maybe the bigger ones. So what we're talking about, in effect, is postal service.
Oh, makes sense. Yes.
You know, I mean, we need communication. We need to keep in touch with the outside world. And of course, postal service goes back to the very earliest days of the fur trade, you know, hundreds of years. And I would argue that when a new community is established, postal service is one of the very first services to be established.
Yeah. So it's something that, I mean, I guess in the earliest days wasn't necessarily in a building or a dedicated building, right?
Right. You know, so typically the postal service would be offered in some sort of centrally located building. You know, it might be a store or in some communities, a person's home. So, for example, two of my ancestors were postmasters here in Manitoba. Oh. My maternal great-grandmother had a post office in her grocery store at a little place called Stephenfield. And my paternal great-grandfather had one in his home at Blythefield. And I challenge our listeners to see if they can find Blythefield on a map.
Blythefield, Manitoba.
Blythefield. It's long gone.
So hard to know maybe how many there were back then.
Well,
or how many there have been in Manitoba.
In some cases, yeah, it is hard to find out records like that. But in this case, because post offices had to be approved by the federal government, we have fairly good records on them. Hmm. So if you go, for example, to the website of the National Archives, they actually have a database of post offices all across Canada. You can search that database on Manitoba. And in fact, what you find is that there were no fewer than 1,601 places that offered postal service through the years. And of course, the majority of those are no longer operating.
Right. So I guess the ones that were in the stores or homes or whatever, not necessarily the ones we're talking about today.
No. Our focus here today are purpose-built buildings. In other words, buildings that were constructed specifically to be post offices that were located in some towns, but not all of them.
So what towns got a dedicated post office building then?
Well, in looking at a list of Manitoba towns with post offices, it seems that the threshold, the minimum size that they could be before they got an actual dedicated post office was about 500 people.
Okay.
You know, so only towns larger than this would have a post office. And in fact, the size of the population would determine the size of the post office. Presumably, you needed a bigger building when you had more people because there'd be simply a greater volume of mail traffic.
So how many post office buildings altogether are standing in Manitoba?
Well, my research so far has turned up 56 of them, and that includes five here in Winnipeg.
We're talking ones in use?
No, actually, of that total, only about maybe, I think it was the statistic was 62% were actually still in use, you know, less than two-thirds. The other third are, well, for various reasons, turned into other uses.
Right. So what's the oldest surviving one that we have in the province?
Well, that distinction belongs to Portage-la-Prairie. You know, there they have an absolutely magnificent 2.5-story stone building right along Saskatchewan Avenue that was built in 1898.
Wow.
Now it's an example of the kind that are not in use anymore because that building became the Portage City Hall in 1960. And in fact, a new post office was built about a block away and it's still in operation on Portage right along Saskatchewan Avenue. But the old building over the years, it's in addition to hosting the city hall, has also been the home for the Magistrates Court, the Youth Court, the RCMP Detachment, the Library, the Art Center. It's been a wealth of different things. And it's one of 13 that were built actually in the period before the beginning of the First World War that are still standing today.
Wow. So what about the oldest one that's still in use?
Well, that one would be here in Winnipeg, actually, on Provencher Boulevard over in St. Boniface. This is a two-story brick and stone building built in 1907. As I said, it's one of the ones that are still in use. Of the 56, 35 are actually still in use for postal service.
Huh. So were there periods when more post offices were built? Like, was there a boom period?
Well, yeah, there were booms and there were busts. So the First World War, not anything really done much in that period. You can understand they were putting resources into the war effort. During the 1920s, that was a period of prosperity. But, you know, I don't know why, but they just didn't seem to be building any post offices. So the only surviving post office that I've been able to find that was built in that decade was at Gretna. And it was just in 1929. So it was just on the cusp of the 1920s. But it seems that maybe the federal government decided to use post offices as a means of sort of boosting the local economies of towns during the Great Depression, during the 1930s, because nearly half of the surviving post offices, 19 of them, in fact, were built in the 1930s. You know, there were a few larger post offices built in the late 1940s, early 1950s, but then the next big pulse of construction occurred in the early 1960s. From 1960 to 1964, 16 of them were built, typically in towns under about 1,000 people. So again, you know, there was that threshold thing. Mm-hmm. And these latest ones, these ones from the 60s, they were fairly small buildings. Most of them were one story. Most of them were fairly modest buildings. You know, they had a small room inside. They had postal boxes for incoming mail. They had a wicket for outgoing mail. And that was pretty much it. And it seems that the last purpose-built post office that I was able to find comes from 1964, and it's at Pilot Mound.
Interesting. Which was the most distinctive post office?
Well, you know, every period of construction seems to have had a distinctive look. You know, so for example, if you look at that whole bunch of them from the 1930s, they're usually identifiable by their red brick design. They have a sort of an Art Deco kind of entrance. Mm-hmm. And they often have a clock above the entrance. Now, in some cases, the clock is still working. I always take a look to see if the clock is correct. And in some cases, yes, it's still spot on. And then in other cases, no, that clock hasn't worked for quite a long time.
Right.
But, you know, if you had to pick a really distinctive one from the 1930s, I would say that's this post office at Stonewall. It's a former one. It's not in use as a post office anymore. And I guess not surprisingly, it was made from local limestone. Of course, they had an abundance of limestone near Stonewall.
Oh, yeah.
Why not build the post office of it?
Of course. And you said the newest one dates from 1964?
Well, there are post office buildings constructed after 1964. For example, there's the one at St. Lazare that was built in 1968. There's the one at Gimli that dates from 1969. But those two actually started a trend that I would say defines an approach that Canada Post started to take in the latter part of the 20th century. So instead of building new post offices itself, you know, instead the building would be constructed by local interests and just leased to Canada Post. In other words, they wouldn't own the building. And this approach, of course, continues today. So we find, for example, postal services are mostly being offered out of grocery stores and pharmacies, you know, which actually goes back to that model of the earlier days, you know, when my relatives offered, you know, postal service, you know, in other buildings. So, you know, here in Winnipeg, for example, the big downtown post office building is now home to the Winnipeg Police Service.
Right.
And its function as a place to, you know, bring in mail and sort of sort it, it's been replaced by a large plant near the airport, and there's no public outlet there at all. I mean, if you go there, basically you can't get in to send a package because there is no public outlet. You have to go to one of these little stores in a grocery store or in a pharmacy.
In a drugstore, yeah. In your clue, you mentioned the service being fundamentally different today. What did you mean?
Well, of course, some of us still do send letters written on paper. You know, personally, I would say I probably send fewer than two or three letters a year. And just to give you comparable statistics, you know, I would send an average of about 20 to 30 emails every single day.
Right.
And of course, the immediacy of email is so superior to what is sometimes called snail mail, you know, that I don't envision ever going back to regular mail. And yet I'm still highly dependent on Canada Post, if not for delivering my letters, for delivering my parcels.
Right.
And of course, this is especially true during this pandemic. But, you know, even during normal times, I think a lot of us have become very comfortable buying products online and having them delivered to our doorsteps.
So this is almost like it used to be done, isn't it? Like waiting for your deliveries.
Yeah, of course, in bygone days, people who lived in remote areas would mail an order using the postal service to stores like Eaton's and the Bay, and their purchases would be delivered by train. You know, so today we have letters are being replaced by email. The trains are being replaced by parcel delivery trucks. But, you know, the basic concept is unchanged. And I guess that's what I find fascinating about this, as I do with many of these episodes on Abandoned Manitoba. It's how things change, but also, I think, in a lot of cases, how they stay the same.
Yep. Are there any former post office buildings that are abandoned altogether, not repurposed or anything?
Yeah. Well, so far, I have not found one. In fact, I've found in some cases there's an old post office building that is unoccupied for a period when it's transitioning between owners or between uses. So, for example, I worried a bit about the old post office building at Dauphin. You know, it was built in 1908, another grand building, and it did stand empty for quite a while, but it has recently been renovated into residential apartments. You know, but who knows? You know, sometimes these things happen and I don't hear about them. So if any of our listeners are aware of any abandoned post offices, I'd be grateful to hear from them.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're reused all over the city. It's nice to see them being used for some other purpose. One comes to mind on Henderson Highway in Elmwood, a Mexican restaurant.
Exactly. It's been a few things through the years, and that's the case. A lot of these things change their uses, but they are still being used, and that's the main thing. To my mind, as long as a building has a useful purpose for the community, we know why not?
Yep. Well, thanks for that. Very interesting, Gordon. So tell us the clue for next week.
Well, I think Winnipeggers might be surprised to learn that within the perimeter highway, there are no fewer than 128 kilometers of waterways. You know, and that total doesn't include waterways that have now vanished. So next week, we're going to talk about the abandoned creeks of Winnipeg. Oh,
very good. Okay, thanks for that, Gordon. We'll talk to you next week.
Talk again. Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many